Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I'll be running solo today, as Ted was too busy driving to be able to pull over to get good reception. So you guys got me for a straight hour today. We've been extremely busy in the office, so I got a few articles here that I have. So bear with me as I'll try and keep it going for you guys on the show today, even though Ted couldn't be on it. As you guys have already seen what happened yesterday, I've told everybody about this repeatedly, that this is definitely a possible scenario. The churches are a soft target. It's unbelievably unfortunate what happened. We've been praying for all the families that were involved in that yesterday. I mean, that was just horrific. And but understand, guys, again, a guy that had a concealed carry permit was able to fight this guy off, and they gave chase to him and essentially caught him, apparently. And supposedly he was dead at the scene when the police got there, as one of the individuals had shot him while he was trying to get into his SUV. The thing that boggles my mind about this is now Antifa wants to completely denounce this guy's involvement with everything. This guy blatantly was an atheist, apparently. He was dishonorably discharged from the military for domestic assault on his spouse and his child, apparently, in 2014. And then goes out and does this type of deranged act. Now, of course, this is a story that's continuing to develop more as we find out about it. I don't believe for one second that this was totally unplanned again by a soul shooter. This guy decided he was just going to get up and do this in the morning. To me, it seems like he probably had some type of MK Ultra work, some type of medication. I don't know. I'm sure we'll keep doing some more research into it. But again, we have the lone shooter narrative again. So he supposedly walks across the street from his vehicle. He's a white male in body armor with an AR-15, of course, starts shooting at the church from the outside. Now, that's the first thing that absolutely threw me off right there, is that he didn't just immediately go into the congregation and start executing people, basically, on the spot without any type of warning. He shot, apparently, from outside into the church and then decided to proceed into the church after that. That already throws a big red flag on why you would do something and give your position away before you go inside. So, I don't know. We're going to keep doing some research on this. It's unbelievably horrible, but this is what Dave Hodges talked about. This is what I've talked about repeatedly. Malls, schools, churches, these are all soft targets where most people are not on guard on what's going on and not usually very alert on the situation around them, and for good reason at church. I mean, most time you're there, you're doing praise and worship, you're listening to the sermon, you're focused on what's going on with the pastor. You're really not wanting to sit there and be on edge and have a pistol with a full mag load out on your hip and eyeballing the door every 30 seconds to see who walks in. You really don't want to have to do that. Unfortunately, some people are called to do that with security. Some people have the ability to provide defensive maneuvers, to provide security details, and that's what the Patriots and that is what the militia was designed for, to be able to provide 100% security 24/7 as fast as physically possible in every civilian scenario. This is why I have told everybody over and over and over again in person and on the show that we all that are able-bodied and have the means and the mindset to do so and the physical ability to operate a firearm in a precise manner have to be prepared for any situation. This is what I kept telling you guys last week before this whole Antifa thing was supposed to happen on Saturday, which it supposedly fizzled out. I don't believe for one second that this thing isn't being coordinated by some type of black ops, that they've intentionally done this. The fact that it happened on this weekend, and it's funny now, Antifa wants to completely denounce it. Oh, we had nothing to do with that. We don't even know this guy. We don't have anything to do with this. We don't even know that. Even after they were bragging about how they're going to start this whole revolution on the 4th of November. So it's always ironic to me how they want to talk all this smack, and then when something actually happens and people call them out for doing something horrible, they want to sit there and deny it and be like, oh, we had nothing to do with that. This is exactly what they're trying to do. And the first thing we see, the very first thing we see from these Democrats is calling for gun control, immediate gun control, even though nobody wants to discussed the fact he had a dishonorable discharge and mental issues in the past, which made it illegal for him to even own a firearm. He still had one. He still was able to commit this atrocity if he did it by himself. I don't know. There could have been other people outside. Not sure. Like I said, we'll be looking for the details. But again, we have the same scenario again as we did in Vegas. This lone shooter goes up, does this by himself, and that's that. And so everybody has to start understanding that gun control is never going to stop this. I saw in a headline today, and if you think this is just coincidental, you really need to do some research. Headline today stating this is the deadliest mass shooting at a church in U.S. history. Last shooting was the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. The Pulse shooting before that was at that time the deadliest mass shooting in recent U.S. history. Sandy Hook before that was the deadliest mass shooting of a school in U.S. history. Do you see what they're doing, guys? You have to open up your eyes and actually watch and see what they're trying to do with the mind control. They're trying to beat the American population into submission to the point where the majority of the population is literally going to beg for gun control. Now, I'm glad this guy that was in the church that had a firearm and decided to fight this guy. Apparently, he grabbed the AR from him and started fighting with him, and this kid ran off outside. And it looks like the concealed carry holder shot him as he jumped into his SUV, and then they proceeded to chase him, and then it looks like he either bled out or was shot again and ran off the road and crashed, and then the troopers showed up. So I'm glad there was somebody there that was able to do something about it. I wasn't really sure if he supposedly his concealed carry holder had a firearm, why he didn't engage the threat as soon as the guy walked in. I don't know. I'm not sure. Like I said, I wasn't there. I can't, you know, speak for this guy, but I am glad that if he was there and it was happened, like they said, he at least was able to stop it from escalating even further, even though it was already as horrific as it was. But this is something that, again, everybody has to understand. If you have the means to do so, protect yourself with a firearm. Train with it. Practice with it. Learn how to reload it. Learn how to fix jams. Learn how to do fast mag changes, not slow mag changes, fast controlled mag changes. Learn how to accurately shoot from the hip, from the chest, and full draw all the way out. Practice this stuff. Take a class. I mean, you go out with people sometimes and they'll spend $50, $60 on dinner just frivolously, but yet you talk to them about taking a $75 fighting pistol class and they're too broke to take it. It always boggles my mind. They won't spend a few dollars to actually learn how to effectively control their pistol and defend their family, friends, or loved ones, or fellow church members, but yet they'll go blow 50, 60, 70 bucks on dinner one weekend for no reason. Makes no sense to me, guys. You have to learn how to operate these weapons under duress accurately and be able to stop any type of threat that may happen. Now, of course, they're showing the photo of the AR-15. They're going to demonize the guns. They're going to demonize the Patriots. They're going to completely put this back on us, as they always do. And you guys have to realize that they're doing the best they can to try to get the firearms. I've told everybody that so many times, but they are never going to be able to fully control the United States population with the amount of armaments that we physically possess in our civilian population. It can't be done. It cannot physically be done without completely ruining the United States infrastructure. I mean, you could go in and start, I guess, carpet bombing and nuking and napalming every single small town and every large city in the United States and just kill the entire population and then hit a biological after. I guess you could do that. But, I mean, again, the infrastructure would be absolutely demolished. There'd be nothing left. You literally just have a barren country, and I don't think they want that. So the easiest thing to do is set up these flags, set up these false flags like this, come in, enter a church like this. Now, it's a very soft target. It's a small church way outside San Antonio. It's not a mega church that has private security contractors that work there like, you know, the big churches have. They're on their own. And this guy decided to do that. It was very well planned, is the way it went like this, as far as they made sure he had a high body count. And they keep putting up these headlines. So I tell you guys right now, I don't care what they call gun-free zones. That doesn't apply to legal, law-abiding citizens. A gun-free zone is a victim zone. You guys have to understand that. If you go to the mall and it has a sign that says this is a gun-free facility, you either choose to walk in armed or you choose to put your weapon in the car and walk in unarmed. That's your choice. I know what I do every time. I will not be told that I cannot carry a firearm as a United States citizen with a legal constitutional Second Amendment right that abides, that allows me to carry a firearm at any place and time I feel the need to do so. Legality is only an aspect that people have to understand. It only applies to law-abiding citizens. If you go in and you say, I'm going to rob a bank, does it really cross your mind that you're not supposed to carry a firearm into a bank, that it's illegal to carry a firearm into a bank if you're going in to rob it? That doesn't cross your mind one single bit. So laws only are applied, they're only listened to by law-abiding citizens. Criminals don't follow them. So you have to make the choice of what you want to do in these situations and where you go. Malls and schools are another extremely soft target. That's why I'm bringing that up. We saw what happened to Sandy Hook, if that is supposedly what happened, which I don't believe it was, personally. But you don't know what can happen the next time they try and set this up. Malls are another huge one. That way they can say, this is the largest mass shooting at a mall in U.S. history. They're getting ready to do everything they can. Now, second note that nobody else is wanting to address, obfuscation factor. We just had 11 Saudi princes arrested over there, with another one went down with multiple diplomats in a jet that looks like there were other people involved in Saudi that took these guys down. We've got multiple implications with Saudi Arabia giving tens of millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation. We've got multiple ties with the Clinton Foundation, the Obama administration, and just about everybody in the U.S. government that was involved in any type of nonsense with Clinton and Obama involved in this uranium deal now that's being shown to be a complete and total scam. All this stuff is going down this weekend. We have all this pedophilia stuff coming out now. Now we got Kevin Spacey, you know, one of a very large actor in Hollywood now, now coming under basically investigation for molesting and trying to commit some type of act with a 14-year-old boy. All this stuff has been hitting the news one after another after another after another, with this Saudi thing being huge this weekend on Saturday, with all these arrests, with this plane going down, all this stuff going on over there with those unbelievably wealthy guys. You got to understand, these guys have so much money. They shut down the airport in Saudi Arabia when they issued the search warrant. They shut down the airport so none of these guys could jet out on their private G650s and whatnot. They completely locked it down. This was huge this weekend. Plus all this stuff that's coming back on Hillary even again further. Plus the fact that we have Trump going over to South Korea and Japan, or over to Japan. Plus we have Sunday a mass shooting at a church. Guys, this stuff isn't coincidental. This stuff doesn't just happen like this by accident. You guys really think on Sunday afternoon this completely took over the news again, and it's completely taking over the news again this week? Also think about this. Vegas was a total just debacle. That whole shooting was a debacle. There are so many holes in that, it makes Swiss cheese look like a door. Nobody can figure out what the truth is with that. The FBI, the police have changed their story multiple times. You have the one eyewitness that supposedly got in a firefight with the shooter in the hallway, the security guard, doesn't even look like him when he shows up on the Ellen DeGeneres show after he's been disappeared for 5 days, shows up on a tape show, looks like he doesn't know where he's at. Ellen DeGeneres literally talks him through the entire thing, interview, and then says, oh, this is his only interview he's doing. He just wanted to get it off his chest, and he's done now. On top of the fact that I was in Vegas for last 3 days last week, and every single person I talked to, with the exception of one person who wasn't even really there very often. He was an Uber driver, and he came there from New York and was working there in California, or working there and was also going back and forth to California. Every single other person I talked to told me they did not believe the official story that was going on, that there were multiple shooters involved, that one of the Uber drivers that I talked to, on the last ones, I talked to him, and one of his friends was at the concert, and he said there was somebody on the ground shooting, another person from an elevated shooting from the airport, and another person shooting from over from the casino. Nothing, not one single person that he had talked to had seen any type of flash from the 32nd floor. He said everybody was so confused when it was over with, when they actually had gotten out of there, and they heard on the news that the shooter from the 32nd floor, everybody said, nothing happened from the 32nd floor. We were looking up. That's, we were all looking around. We were trying to figure out what's going on. Then we start seeing muzzle flash on the ground. We start seeing muzzle flash from a different position, completely across from it. Not to mention, I walked down there, guys. I walked into Mandalay Bay. I tried, by the way, the staff did not want to talk about it at all. I tried to talk to them. I didn't talk to you guys about this. This is on Saturday. Went over to Mandalay and tried to talk to them, and they wouldn't even discuss anything with me. We're not discussing that at the time. I mean, pretty much, essentially, was about to escort me out if I brought it up again, which I thought was interesting. But I walked all around, and the fact, if they want us to believe, from 300 feet in the air with literally, guys, you got 15, 20-mile-an-hour winds out in Vegas at night. It's cool. It's breezy out there. I had to go buy a jacket because I forgot one. I thought it was going to be hot out there. That breeze from 300 feet up, you're probably looking at 20, 30-mile-an-hour gusts kicking on the side of that hotel in the U-shape that it is. And you're going to tell me that you're going to shoot from 300 feet up, 500 yards out with a 55-grain 5.56 bullet, and you're going to hit 500-plus people with a slide-fire stock? Get out of here. You're smoking crack if you actually think somebody's going to believe that it has any type of knowledge of ballistics or firearm skills, especially when I saw it in person. So we have all this stuff now culminating, and nobody believes this whole nonsense in Vegas now. It completely fizzled out with gun control. Trump said this is nonsense. I'm not going to pass any gun laws. I'm not going to do any nonsense with it. Congress can let ATF decide whether or not they think the bump stock should be legal or not. They've already ruled three times that it's legal. Let them rule it again. I don't care. I'm done with it. This is what he said. That's, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. They had to have something else. And the fact that it happened this weekend when this whole Antifa nonsense was supposed to start up isn't coincidental either. The fact that they hit a church, they're trying to make everybody scared. This is what they're doing. They're using fear as they always do. The same thing they did with Sandy Hook. The same thing they did with Vegas. The same thing they did with 9/11. It's all about instilling fear into the population in order to take away our rights. You wouldn't believe the police presence in Vegas. I mean, there were cops everywhere. Every corner, there were cops everywhere. Multiple cops just standing out. Patrol everywhere. Airport. SEMA. The whole convention center. Police everywhere. If you guys have ever noticed, once there's an attack, once there's a shooting, once there's an incident like similar to this in any place you go, they always increase security massively, 3-4 times what it was before. At that point, it never goes back down to the way it was pre-shooting or pre-incident. If you guys have ever noticed that, look at how Europe is now. They have doggone military armored personnel vehicles on the streets. Dad took photos of those when he was over there in Europe last time, all over Europe. They have police all over Vegas now. Sure, there's going to be police all over this little town if they can afford to keep it up, which I don't know if they actually will in such a small town. But they always do this as an excuse to bring in more police state tactics, to restrict our rights, to basically make us more subservient and more docile and be more dependent on the government for protection and security. Everybody has to understand this is not something that we can allow to happen. You cannot sit back and say, well, I just want to be protected. I want the government to come in and protect us. They can't. Again, the police never even arrived. They never even got to the place when the guy was there. They picked him up after he was dead and bled out after the citizen shot him and chased him down the SUV. That's how it is in most scenarios when you actually have a law-abiding citizen that knows how to use a weapon or knows how to fight to try and prevent something. The police are always there after the matter of the fact. So again, I reiterate this. If you have the means to do so and you can legally do so, own a firearm, carry your firearm, and know how to use your firearm extremely proficiently. I try to shoot now at least once a week. Even as busy as I am, I try to go to my buddy's house who has a range behind it and shoot on a regular basis and do a lot of different life scenario drills, real life scenario drills. Going to the range and standing at a table and punching paper from exactly 5 yards or 10 yards away and reloading magazines at your convenience and then putting the gun down and picking it back up and reloading again slowly, shooting comfortably. That is the most inaccurate way you're ever going to discharge a firearm in a real life or death scenario. your hands are going to be shaking. You're going to be out of breath. You're going to be extremely aggressive. Your adrenaline dump is going to kick in. You're not going to be hungry, obviously. You're going to get tunnel vision. You're going to be completely focused on the situation, and you're not even going to notice that your ears are about blown out after you shoot a couple rounds, especially if it's in close indoor shooting. That's why every time when we do training drills, we always end up doing sprints at some time into the shooting scenario. For example, if you can do this, if you have a place to train like this, have a target set up with a close line. Average shootings take place within 3 to 5 feet from one another, meaning if you get in a shooting, you're probably going to be close enough to touch the person that you're shooting, if not only a few feet away from there. Set out a line, set out a target. Get real live paper targets. Don't get these ones where it's just a little circle target. Get real life targets that have real people on them. Why do I say that? You don't want to have any hesitation if you have to discharge your firearm in the event to protect your family, your friends, or your loved ones. You want it to be second nature. You immediately draw, you put it on target, and you shoot, whether it's from the hip, whether it's from the chest, or whether extended out. Most people don't realize if you get in a shooting and you're 3 to 5 feet away from one another, if you extend your gun all the way out like a normal shooting stance with your arms pushed all the way out, you're literally going to have your firearm almost on top of the person, allowing them to completely grab you and disarm you if they know how to do so before they even get shot, if they're efficient at fighting hand-to-hand. Most of the time, you shoot from the hip right off the draw, or you shoot with the gun still at your chest. That way you have full control of the handgun while you're fighting. They cannot grab it from you easily, and they cannot take it from you easily. It's much harder to take the gun when the gun is up against you and you have your left hand extended out or your right hand extended out, pushing them off you and getting them away from you as you discharge a couple rounds into the body cavity. That's how you have to handle that situation. Now, I don't really normally talk about a lot of the stuff on the show because it's just something I would prefer you guys take a class and learn, but I'm trying to give you guys some really, really, really good information right now that you can go and practice. Secondly, if you don't have the ability to do so at a shooting range like that, do it at home and dry train. What I mean by dry training, unload your weapon, make sure it is empty, check it multiple times. You don't need to have a discharge in your home, and do this in front of the mirror. Practice drawing your weapon and squeezing the trigger right from the hip, right from the chest, and with full extension. Practice that at least 20 to 30 times a night, over and over and over again. This will build repetition and will build muscle memory. It will be completely free. You won't spend a single penny in range fees nor ammunition fees. You'll be able to sit there and dry train. That's what it's called, dry drills. Then further on, you can do dry training reloads where you have empty magazines and you practice reloading from cover with an empty magazine and an empty firearm in your house and always shooting into the mirror. Why do I say shoot in the mirror? Again, you want to practice shooting at something that's a body. Shooting a little circle paper target is, again, one of the most inaccurate things you're ever going to do in a real-life scenario as far as shooting. You're going to sit there and punch a paper target, and then if something does occur, you're actually going to have a warm body in front of you, and it's more than likely going to spook you if you're not well-trained to do so and handle the situation. That's why I say shoot in front of the mirror. That's something else. You don't even have to buy a target if you do it at home. Training at the range, at a custom range, being able to run and do 10, 15, 20-yard sprints to the line, right up to the target, and then shoot to the target and push off of them, that's the best scenario you can possibly do that you can do over and over and over again. The running spikes your blood pressure. It gets your adrenaline running. It gets your senses very aggressive. It gets your palms sweaty. It gets you breathing heavy. And then when you get up to the line, you have to draw and shoot accurately and quickly. That's the best scenario to do. Again, if you don't have that ability to do it all the time, dry drill at home as much as possible. That's the easiest, cheapest thing you can do. There's no excuse not to do that. I just had one of my good buddies. He picked himself up an AR that we got for him, got a good deal on, and he was trying to practice his reloads. I showed him the positions, how to reload correctly, making sure the weapon's up and you can still see all around you on his belt rig. And I said, make sure the weapon's empty, check it 2 to 3 times, make sure the magazines are empty, check them 2 to 3 times, and practice over and over and over again, dropping the mag out, reloading the mag, racking the charging handle, doing it over and over and over again, to the point where if you have to do it in a scenario, you literally are not even going to think about it. You're going to instinctively do it and make the situation location that much more harder for the assailant or perpetrator to attack you or your family or your loved ones because you're going to be so skilled. Most people that go out and do this type of stuff, they're cowards. They really are. They're cowards. They don't want to get in a real firefight. They want to shoot unarmed civilians. They don't want to have any type of resistance against them. And most of the time, they are not trained properly under almost all circumstances. They really aren't. The only time I ever saw somebody that actually knew what they were doing was the Texas shooting when the guy shot multiple police officers out there. And he also had military background training he was involved in. That was the same scenario, if you guys don't remember, that he was held up in the parking garage and they used a robotic drone with a grenade on it to blow him up. It was basically the first drone kill of a U.S. citizen on U.S. soil, which I always had mixed emotions about. I understood the situation and what SWAT was dealing with. You know, I have a lot of friends that are on SWAT and sheriff departments, but again, it still set a precedent for allowing a drone kill on a U.S. civilian on U.S. soil, which wasn't good to me. We've been blessed to not have that happen again, so it did not set a precedent so far, which I'm happy about. But that's my little spiel on what happened with Sunday. I'm sure we'll keep getting more information on it. But again, be praying for the families that were involved in that. I mean, a 2-year-old kid got shot. I think a 14-year-old girl got killed. This was horrific. But understand the reason why this happened. This wasn't some random occurrence. They're doing this on soft targets to soften up the American population, to scare us, and to try and make us submissive into thinking that we need to give our firearms up in order to be safe. That is so far from the truth, it's a joke. So do not fall prey into what they're trying to do. Also, too, in other news that's going on right now, more trouble with the malls. As we've been seeing Amazon completely take over, Wall Street is now bracing for more signs of retail apocalypse when Macy's and Nordstrom detail the latest pain from the loss of mall shoppers who have migrated online. They said that more and more people are going on the e-commerce sites, that 35% up on Amazon already this year in the fourth quarter, that all these guys with Macy's are down 20 to 40%. This is going on right now. Trump's tax bill also is going under the microscope, which means that GOP tax plan on Monday is supposed to go through. As it stands now, the tax cuts and job acts would permanently lower the corporate tax rate to 20%. So we'll see what that does on there. Also, too, as I talked about, there's a lot of stuff going on as far as with Amazon going into the pharmaceutical business now. They're taking over as fast as they physically can. And the issue that you see with a lot of these online retailers like Amazon, specifically mainly Amazon, because they are essentially turning into a monopoly, is their overhead is so much smaller than the malls. When you go to malls, you have this floor rental. You have the overhead with the payroll rental in there. You have the electric bill and any other aspects of expenses. You have inventory carrying costs of all the stuff you got to carry in inventory in there and keep it stockpiled in order to keep sales going. Amazon doesn't really have to do that. Yes, they have inventory. Yes, they have overhead. Yes, they have payroll. They have all that, but it's all based on the facility and the warehouse space that's actively sending out product, making money. When you have a mall, you may have a building. I mean, when I went, it was funny, when I went to Men's Warehouses, where I had a wedding up in Maryland, you guys know, about 4 weeks ago. My friend that was having the wedding, he got the tux rentals through Men's Warehouse. So, of course, you know, we're in the wedding. We got to pay for the tuxedo rental. So I went to Men's Warehouse, and one of the managers was typing on the computer, right, like literally doing that, then walking out right as I was walking in. And it looked kind of strange to me. And so I kind of walked over behind the desk. And I was just being nosy, to be honest with you guys. I was just being nosy. I didn't touch anything, but I was just being nosy. I looked at the computer, and they were doing total sales for the day. And this Men's Warehouse, pretty big standalone facility. I mean, it was probably a 2,500 square foot building as far as internal. Lots of inventory there. And total sales for the day was $1,400. Well, I mean, I don't know if you guys know much about renting facilities, especially in Florida. $1,400 in gross sales at a very large facility like that with probably $100,000+ in floor plan, that's not a whole lot of money as far as total intake. Plus, you got four people in there that are on payroll. When I went in there, they were still in there helping other customers and walking around keeping things tidy. You know, if those guys are only making, on average, you say probably $10 to $12 an hour, four of those guys a day, if they're running a full shift all day long, or they're going back and forth, you're looking at anywhere between $300 to $500 a day just in payroll. Right there. And yet they grossed $1,400 in sales. Numbers don't add up to me. So that was just me being nosy, though. So that was a side note. But we see all this stuff going on. And so everybody has to understand this as far as the market is getting very, very soft with the malls. They're all starting to go out. Amazon's trying to take over. We've gone into detailed discussion before why they're trying to do this. But there's a lot of stuff going on right now that's weird. And, you know, that's just something that everybody needs to be aware of, especially right now as Thanksgiving and Christmas come up. Don't overextend yourself. Don't max your credit cards out. Don't do it. You know, try to get good deals on stuff. Try and get good budgets on stuff. And I know, again, everybody's going to go, well, only the best deals I can get are on Amazon. I know. They put everybody in a very significant predicament. I completely understand that. Do the best you can to avoid them. But, again, on the other hand, too, you don't want to be going into a lot of debt and have a very, very overspent credit card bill with interest on it. That's not a good idea. If you guys have to use a credit card for something, and this is just what I've worked with people before that, you know, as far as financially, and I'm not giving you any type of financial planning. This is just my personal opinion. If you have a credit card, roll your credit cards every year and always making sure you have 0% APR as a buffer. I don't mean use it and rack a credit card bill up. It's 0% and then pay it off later. That's not a good idea. But a lot of these credit cards now will offer like 0% APR for like 12 to 18 months. Always pay your credit card off every single month. But if you get in a predicament or an emergency where you have to buy something or you have to buy something for your house or your car and you need it, you have that backup plan to be able to purchase it, and at the same time you have zero interest on it, meaning you will pay $0 in interest as you can try and pay it down over the next month or two and get it paid off. It boggles my mind when I talk to people how many people have credit cards that have $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 balances on them, and they're paying like 19% interest. I understand once you get buried in these things, it's a revolving issue because it completely goes back on itself with this interest and it makes it so hard. But if you haven't gotten to that point yet, stay away from it. And if you have to use a credit card for something, use it as a backup and use one that has 0%. And then when that 0% APR promo's done, apply for another one. Keep that one. Don't even use it. Put it in your safe as another backup. That's what I recommend doing. That's my personal preference. And then have the one again with a 0% APR on backup and keep the other credit card in your safe as a backup emergency that you don't use. This is good stuff, guys. Most people aren't going to tell you this. This is stuff that I've learned on my own, that I've learned from Dad, that I've learned from wealthy individuals that I've talked to all the time, stuff that I've worked with, talked to people. This is the stuff that you can really help your family and your children with staying out of debt, staying prepared, like I talked about earlier with the firearms, making sure everybody is prepared in every situation. That's why I always tell you, have a grab-and-go bag. There's one thing that I have in my grab-and-go bag that I don't ever usually talk to people about, but you guys are like family on the show, and that's zip-tie handcuffs. People go, what do you need those for? That's exactly what you think they're for. If you're in a scenario like what happened on Sunday and you have to detain somebody that was just involved in something incredibly horrible like this, and you don't want to engage him with deadly force because he doesn't have any and he's fleeing the scene, which you cannot legally do in any state. You cannot shoot somebody while they're running away from you and they're unarmed. If you basically are get on top of them and you tackle them, you need to have a way to be able to detain them aggressively without putting yourself in any more harm. Zip tie handcuffs are what police use. It's what the military uses. There's a reason why. They're easy to use, they're lightweight, and they're easy to pack in a grab and go bag. I always keep at least one pair in my grab and go bag for any situation like that. Some people think that's excessive. I don't think so at all, because I've heard way too many horror stories from local law enforcement and military over in the Middle East. If you don't have something to detain somebody, you get multiple people coming on top of you like that if there's multiple assailants. That's just something else I always like to have on top of me as far as in my grab-and-go bag. On top of that, multiple magazines loaded, holster, pistol, IFAC, which is an emergency first aid kit or infantry first aid kit, and that's what it stands for as far as the military term. And that's something you always need to have, with quick clot, bandages, tourniquets, all that, because if you get hit or a family member gets hit, if you put the assailant down and you've neutralized the threat, you need to tend to the closest person to you and make sure you stop the bleeding as quickly as possible. The problem is most people don't carry those in their vehicles. Most people don't carry those in churches, or most people don't carry those in general anywhere. Most people have like first aid band-aid kits, which will do absolutely zero for a gunshot wound. Especially if you have hit an artery and you're bleeding out. That's like the worst possible scenario, aside from, you know, obviously a chest shot or a sucking chest wound. At that point, there's not much you can do anyways if you don't have a very, very aggressive medic kit. But an easy thing to have happen is getting shot in your femoral and you're bleeding out and you can't stop it because you don't have anything effective enough and you're trying to take a belt off and get that crimped down enough. Definitely not something you want to be in that situation. Have multiple tourniquets in your pack. I always have one. I have one inside my side-by-side as far as my off-road vehicle. I have one in my truck. I have one in my bug-out bag. I have them everywhere. They're always handy all the time. That's just another side note on there. Also, too, the New York Times now, surprise, surprise, actually, has confirmed what we've talked about now of the real cause of the mumps outbreak in America. This is pretty crazy now. In a bombshell article entitled, Mumps Makes a Comeback Even Among the Vaccinated. This is the New York Times put this out, guys. The New York Times admits that vaccinated children are spreading the mumps. That's what they've stated here. Most of the recent cases occurring in outbreaks, including a large one in Arkansas, rather than as sporadic here or there diseases, the most of the outbreaks were among people 18 to 22 years of age, most of whom had the requisite two doses of mumps vaccine. We are seeing it in a young and highly vaccinated population, Dr. Ruth said in the New York Times article. Now, I've talked about this so many times, and I mean, we've talked about this numerous times in recent articles and recent research studies. Almost after all vaccines fail to stop mumps outbreaks, they always say, well, you need to have a third injection of the mumps. This is something 85% of measles outbreak victims already received vaccinations. 40 people, when they contracted mumps at Harvard, were all vaccinated, if you guys remember that. Mumps outbreak spreads among people who got vaccinated against the mumps. This is just stuff, guys, that when I talk about it, a lot of people laugh at me and go, oh, this can't be the case, that can't be the case, that's not it, blah, 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 this won't happen. You know, if you're vaccinated, you can't get it. It's absolutely safe and effective. They work all the time. Guys, it's lies. That's why I talk about the vaccine industry so aggressively all the time, because I've done the research. I've literally gotten the phone calls in more than I can count anymore, the emails that I've gotten in, stuff that I don't even like hearing. It's so sad when people call you up and their kids get these vaccinations and they're never the same. They start having this crazy, crazy swelling in their brain that makes them cry unbelievably bad, or they choke and die, or they end up going into this stupor and they have autism the rest of their life and they don't function properly. And almost every single time that I have had one of those conversations and these parents have dealt with these symptoms after these kids have gotten these diseases or these issues, whether it be sudden infant death syndrome, which is, that's it, it's over with, or autism and everything in between, like 99% of the time that I can ever remember, every time I look back, every email that I've gone back and read, it's after the children were vaccinated, man. This isn't coincidence. That's what you tell people, and they go, oh, well, it's just coincidence that that's happened. It's just a coincidence that tens of thousands of children have all these significant side effects after they get vaccines every year. My question is, when does it stop being a coincidence and start being an exact cause and effect of the vaccine? When do we hit that line when we stop being so incredibly stupid and we start waking up and realizing this isn't coincidence anymore, guys? Do your research. Figure out what's going on with this stuff. And make it even worse now, the people that are getting the mumps are the ones that are vaccinated. The New York Times even admits it. So all these vaccinations that you're taking, literally a gamble with, you're gambling with it. You're going in and you're just literally taking the dice and saying, all right, let's throw it out there. Let's see what I get. And you're gambling with this kid's health, their life, and waiting to see if it's actually even going to be effective and if they're actually going to stay alive and not come down with some type of serious side effect. now we're seeing it doesn't even work. Did the vaccines don't even work, especially long-term at all? So did they say, well, they need more vaccines. They need a third round of vaccines. That wasn't enough. We need three vaccines. We need four vaccines. Oh, better yet, let's go ahead and make, you know, something like Bill Gates does and do a time-release two-year vaccine that we can inject them with right when they're born, and it'll be time-released over the next 2 years. That'll be safe. That'll be healthy because we don't already have incredibly high autistic rates and health problems associated with vaccines currently. Let's do them time release now. That's a great idea. It's incredible, guys. And I get in arguments with people about this, and it's like, I always win. You know, I don't even try. I don't even want to be, I don't want to win. That's the problem. I want them to listen and just at least spark it. And that's my only goal. When I argue with people about vaccinations, my only goal, my only takeaway with it is maybe what I'm saying right now, maybe the facts that I'm putting on the table right now, maybe it will be enough to just spark something in their brain that makes them go home and pull up a search engine and type in side effects of vaccines or something, anything. Maybe it will change somebody's life and they won't have to go through what I've seen and heard and watched so many different parents go through with their children. So another topic, I want to get off this topic. I don't like going on about it now. This is kind of a funny topic, but kind of a sad topic. Authorities in an Austrian city, Salzburg, civic chiefs are now putting up airbags around lampposts to protect smartphone zombies, apparently now. The lampposts are being covered in airbags to stop individuals from bumping into them as they walk around staring at their screens in the Austrian city. The Salzburg authorities said tourists are increasingly hurting themselves by not looking where they're going while checking their devices. Locals have described mobile phone users as smombies, the short-term form for smartphone zombie, and the civic chiefs are taking action to stop them from getting injured. And, you know, it's funny, I was in the office when I brought this article up to Steve. He goes, who's paying for these? I said, I don't know. It's a good question. The fact that we're having to put airbags up now on lampposts because we're having so many injuries in the city because people are staring at their phones and walking into lampposts and knocking themselves out and knocking teeth out and breaking noses, it kind of boggles my mind. And the crazy part is these smartphones, we've only really been using them for what? 10, maybe 15 years. I mean, because most of the phones we had before with the razors and all that I remember back in 2004, 5, 6, 7, those phones were basic now. I mean, they were simple. They were flip phones. Internet was garbage on them. Really didn't do anything with them. So, I mean, we've really only been having this really aggressive smartphone technology for a decade max, yet we've only been 10 years in, and we're already having to put airbags up on lampposts because people are so incoherent when they walk around buried in their screen, they can't even take 1 second to look up and not walk into a lamppost and knock themselves out. It's kind of sad, and it's really funny, but it's still really sad to me. It really is. Other news as well. This was pretty wild at college campuses. This has started an uproar now, which really made me laugh because I see the point of it. I really do, because I was kind of curious too when I heard about it to see when I was reading through the article what the response is going to be. Signs declaring it's okay to be white, that's all it said, it's okay to be white, just a statement, have been spotted on college campuses across America, even in Canada, over the last week, prompting outrage. The signs were launched through a coordinated 4-channel campaign where anonymous internet forum board instructed people to post the signs on campuses to see if the media would go completely berserk. The ultimate goal was to show and see if leftists and journalists actually have contempt for white individuals. And so I saw this article and I was like, well, that's a really interesting topic, because you can't really get mad. If somebody goes, it's okay to be Hispanic, it's okay to be black, it's okay to be white, you can't get mad about that. It's a very blatant statement. It's very clear. There's no prejudice about it. There's nothing behind it whatsoever. It's just a very succinct statement. It's very factual, actually. Very factual. It's okay to be any skin color. Nobody's better than anybody. Well, So far, the signs prompted major media coverage and massive amounts of anger on campus. Others have questioned why saying it's okay to be white is automatically deemed being a racist. Colleges such as Harvard, Princeton, Tulane, Western Washington, Auburn, University of Kansas, Concordia have all had posters appear on campus, including University of Alberta and the University of Toronto, as did a school in Maryland, a high school in Maryland. The University of Kansas student body president, Maddie Womack, completely flipped out. She said, "I am deeply disgusted that this organized online campaign to divide university communities across the country have come to our campus. It is shameful that anybody would use these posters to promote a racist agenda." Well, my whole aspect of that is, what is the difference of saying it's okay to be white and saying Black Lives Matter? I really ask that question sincerely, because Black Lives Matter is a group that's literally invited almost anywhere now, including the White House when Obama was there, and they're basically loved on for coming out now and being social justice warriors and a lot of times engaging in violent behavior for saying that Black Lives Matter. However, if somebody puts a poster up that says it's okay to be white, the University of Kansas student body president, Maddie Womack, says it's shameful anybody would put something up to push a racist agenda. Well, anyways, so after denouncing the flyers as racist, the school's multicultural student government conveyed emergency meeting over it, according to the report. Interesting. At Harvard, the signs came in the form of stickers, where they were deemed condemned as divisive. The signs also generated a police probe to find the culprit responsible to the University of Alberta in Canada. I kid you not, I repeat, a police probe. It went on to say the University of Alberta in Canada is aware of several incidences of racism that have occurred on the campus in recent days. Messages or displays that target or marginalize any individuals or groups will not be tolerated. We are working with the University of Alberta Protective Services and the Police Department to find the parties responsible. The President David Turpin said in the statement. The President of the University of Alberta. Similarly, officials at Maryland-based Montgomery Blair High School launched an investigation to determine who put the flyers up. They want to say, "We're taking this seriously or investigating the incident. Our research so far has indicated that there may be part of a concerted national campaign to foment racial and political tension in our school." It just goes on and on, the same stuff. I mean, it said in addition to the campuses, the flyers were also found around cities as well as New Orleans, Cambridge, Massachusetts, Rocky River, Ohio, and all got anger or some type of flack about them, which I thought was kind of interesting. It's an interesting thing. I mean, you know, you put something up like that, and you have a group that promotes a racist agenda with violent behavior like Black Lives Matter, yet you put a simple statement up like this, and pretty much everybody in these schools deemed it blatantly racist. Well, where was the First Amendment? Did anybody bother to put that in? Making a blatant statement. There's absolutely zero racist statement behind that. There's no context to it at all. It's a blatant statement. You could put any color at the end of that, and it would be a just basic statement. So I'm really curious how a lot of these guys are going to rebuttal this if they get interviewed about it, because I can't really understand anymore why these people would get so irate about it. But again, it shows you the double standard and hypocrisy that knows no bounds with these leftist liberals. They really don't have any limit to how far they go in order to deem anything and everything the other group does racist just by spewing that out as soon as they disagree with it. So it's definitely it's a wild situation. And but again, guys, you know, back to what I was thinking a minute ago. Back to these guys in Texas and all the families out there that we're praying for. Make sure you do the best you can. Also, not just from a physically defensive standpoint, but a verbally and mentally defensive standpoint to the people that are going to come out now, and they're going to try to twist this into making it a gun rights thing. I personally believe that Antifa was involved in this. I personally believe that CIA or other aspects of the black ops and the, you know, the shadow government that are involved in a lot of this stuff, I think they were totally complicit in this. I think they set the whole thing up. I think they used this guy as a patsy like the FBI has done dozens of times. and set these guys up and then giving them fake C4 or fake guns or fake bombs, and when they go to use it, it doesn't work? Why in the world would anybody believe that these guys don't do this with real people and do it with real guns and try to set these guys up and push them into these situations? I mean, come on, guys. It just happened this week with what I think I read a second ago now. I was just scrolling. I think it's 17 Saudi princes now are arrested. I mean, this whole issue, I'm going to do more research on this today because I didn't have a whole lot of time to prep today. We were so busy in the office. Do some more research on what happened this weekend with those guys and what's really going on behind the scenes, because to me, this is all a way to get into the hearts of the minds of the American population and scare them, which you should never be scared of anything except God Almighty. That's it. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind. Fear is not supposed to exist as far as in God's eyes whatsoever. We're only supposed to fear God Almighty, and that's because of who He is. You're not supposed to fear anything else, especially not man. So we have to understand, we're not given a spirit of fear. We have to stand strong with this. We have to stand together as patriots, and we have to be there for one another to support one another and not allow this divisive nonsense to get in between us and stay strong with what's really going on. That's one of the most important things we can do right now, guys. There's no excuse to allow these guys to go in and cover this stuff up with this horrible incident of this weekend. We have to start digging down, and we have to expose Hillary and everybody that's involved in her with the Clinton Foundation. These guys are satanic. They are globalist. They are going to do everything they can to cover their butt, including, it doesn't matter if it's shooting up a church, it doesn't matter if it's shooting up a concert, it doesn't matter if it's shooting up a school. They are going to do everything they can to try to keep this out of the mainstream media with the truth, what's really going on with them, with the money laundering, with the pedophilia, with everything. They do not want their true self to be seen. As dads referred to, they're always like cockroaches. They sit out in the dark. When you flip the lights on, they run into the refrigerator and hide because they're terrified that the population is actually going to see them for what they are, and they truly need to be tried for treason. That is the truth. But, guys, I appreciate you bearing with me today with this whole show. A lot of topics, you know, I wanted to give you guys today my input, my background, my knowledge base that I've learned over the years with some of this stuff, and try to give you guys the best info I can as pretty much my health master's family. I mean, Dad and I do this every day for you guys. I mean, we don't do it for us, trust me. We don't do a show 5 days a week. I don't do a show from a satellite phone in Vegas and, you know, while I'm at SEMA during the week because I want to be on the show just to do it for me. I do it because I want to give you guys the best info that we can bring. I want to give you guys the best true news, real news, unbiased alternative news that we can physically give you guys. That was the goal. That's why we don't have ads. That's why we don't have commercials. That's why we don't have sponsors. We don't want anybody coming in and being able to dictate anything and being able to hold that over our head from a monetary aspect. That's why Dad and I always thank you guys every single day for the ultimate multiple purchases. Even if that's all you can do and buy a bottle of our unbelievably high quality ultimate multiple formula for $25, that right there helps us subsidize this show, because like I said, this is all out of pocket. The only person that pays for it, that's Health Masters. This is how we do the show every single day, and that's how we continue to do it, and we will continue to do it, because I believe, God, that we have the ability to continue on this route, and we're going to make a difference with waking up the American population, and we truly are going to have a patriot movement in this country. I do believe we can have a redemption. I really do. And I don't think it's too late. I think God still has mercy on us. I still think there's enough Christians here. That's why they chose a church. They want to terrify the Christians. Think about it. They could have picked any place they wanted to. They could have picked a Muslim place if they wanted to. They could have done any of that. They picked a small church in Texas. Texas of all places. They wanted to do this to try and prove a point that they can try to make these shootings happen at any place, anytime, even where you feel safe. That means we have to come back 10 times stronger and show them we will go any place we want. We will stand firm at any place we want, and we will make sure we are safe by our own protection, not the police, not the government, especially not the globalists in a new world order. We will protect ourselves with God's help and God's grace. We can do anything through Him, and with one another, giving each other the strength that we need by having each other's backs and supporting one another. And this Christian patriot movement is one of the most important things we have to do right now, guys. That is absolutely what we have to be doing right now. Not get filled with fear, not get scared and run away, not stand there and get all arrogant and cocky, because we don't want to do that either. There's no reason to be arrogant. We need to stand confident in God Almighty and the strength that He's given us, and the Christian patriots and the fellowship that we have with one another to be able to support one another in our communities all around the United States, guys. That is what we have to do right now. So I appreciate the emails. I am trying to go through a plethora of them. I have a lot of emails from last week and the weekend and today. So bear with me. I'm completely backed up on these. I'm keep throwing through them, chopping through them today and this week. But I appreciate the support, guys. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for the positive emails. I really appreciate them. And thank you for bearing with us whenever we have any issues with shipping. You know, sometimes we get customers that call up and they're irate because they don't have their package in 3 or 4 days. 7 to 10 business days is our policy. 99% of the time we're much faster than that. However, sometimes we do get backed up, or we'll have a product missing for a day or two, and we always make sure we stay within our 7 to 10 business days. And so we really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to serve you guys and give you guys the best products that we can physically make. Be sure to check out the website at healthmasters.com. The Cortisol Buster is on sale. I've already had to take a lot of that today. I'm going to take some more as well. It is a really good product, really helps reduce cortisol and promotes a more relaxed mental clarity and reduces occasional fatigue. So that's a great product on sale. It'll be on sale till Wednesday morning. And also be sure to vote on the other products that you guys like. It looks like the Ultimate Multiple, the product that we love so much, the Superfood and the Excellent C are all pretty close neck and neck on there. So be sure to vote on that at healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, give us a call at 1-800-726-1834. That's our 1-800 number that we're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. Always here to try to help you guys out. If you have to sit on hold for a few minutes, I apologize in advance. We are very busy, but we do try to give all of our customers as much time as we can over the phone and make sure you guys have all the info and all the products that you need before we go on to the next phone call. So we appreciate your patience on that, guys. And again, Dad will be, looks like he'll be back in town today, so he'll be back on the show with us tomorrow, so we should have real good feed, real good quality, back and forth tomorrow. So me and him are going to do some more research on all this stuff that they're trying to cover up, again, with Hillary, with the Saudi boys over there, and see if we can find out some more info on what happened yesterday, guys. So be praying for those families out in Texas. I love you guys. I appreciate the support. You have a blessed, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always. We'll be right back.